Dios explicó las consecuencias de estas acciones y las medidas que adopta el gobierno brasileño para enfrentarlas.
Un proyecto de ley que garantice la protección de los datos personales en Internet. Se trata de cuidar las relaciones personales. Es un texto informativo que establece que las personas son los dueños de los datos.
En tal sentido, los diputados expresaron sus criterios.
El Parlamento brasileño está dedicado a discutir sobre esta materia. El gobierno federal adoptará medidas para proteger los intereses nacionales y medidas también diplomáticas y políticas junto a las autoridades americanas.
El tema sobre las interceptaciones de llamadas telefónicas y correos electrónicos a la presidenta Dilma Rousseff, sus asesores y la empresa Petrobras fue denunciado con fuerza por la propia mandataria en la Asamblea General de la ONU. Los brasileños mostraron indignación por estas actividades violatorias de la soberanía y derechos individuales de las personas, seguros de que no guardan relación alguna con asuntos de seguridad nacional para Estados Unidos. Desde Brasilia, Doris Calderón, Telesur.
El presidente de Siria, Bashar al-Assad, aseguró que las acusaciones del presidente de Estados Unidos ante la Asamblea General de la ONU carecen de credibilidad.
Es como el resto de sus anteriores discursos. Son discursos llenos de alegaciones basadas en la falsificación y contienen muchas mentiras. Pero de forma general, la mayoría de las declaraciones de los responsables estadounidenses en todas las administraciones, sean en la actual administración o en las anteriores administraciones, son declaraciones que no portan el mínimo de credibilidad.
En entrevista con la multiestatal Telesur, al-Assad dijo que Siria cumplirá con la entrega de armas químicas como prometió. Asimismo, dijo que la amenaza de una agresión militar contra su país ordenada por Washington sigue presente.
Si echamos un vistazo a las anteriores guerras y las políticas de Estados Unidos, por lo menos a partir de la primera mitad de los años 50, vemos que es una política que va de una agresión a otra, empezando por Corea, luego Vietnam, Líbano, Somalia, Afganistán e Irak. Esa es la política de Estados Unidos. Eso sin mencionar lo que hizo en Sudamérica, donde instigó a los golpes de Estado y la muerte de millones decenas de gobiernos fueron derrocados a consecuencia de las políticas de Estados Unidos. Esa es la misma política que vemos ahora y la que existe desde hace décadas. No ha cambiado y no veo ahora una razón primordial para que cambie.
Estás escuchando el informativo Pacífica. Puedes escribirnos al correo electrónico pueblossinfronteras@gmail.com.
Mientras líderes mundiales trabajan por la paz con justicia social, unas pocas potencias se dedican a promover guerras y conflictos armados sin respetar a los organismos internacionales. Así lo declaró el miércoles el presidente de Bolivia, Evo Morales, durante su discurso ante la Asamblea General de la ONU en Nueva York. En ese sentido, Morales llamó a los países del mundo a instalar un tribunal internacional para juzgar los crímenes cometidos por la administración Obama.
Si estamos aquí debatiendo seriamente sobre la vida de la humanidad, yo quiero plantearles, tal vez podemos compartir con algunos, seriamente hay que pensar y constituir un tribunal de los pueblos con organismos internacionales grandes, defensores de los derechos humanos, para empezar una demanda al gobierno de Obama. A mí me ha sorprendido que presidente Obama de Estados Unidos, ha empezado su gestión y me llamó la atención. ¿Qué decía? Textualmente dijo, en su inicio de gestión, yo he sido electo para acabar con las guerras. Son sus palabras. Están en los periódicos, están en las radios, están en la televisión. Yo dije, este hermano presidente de Estados Unidos viene de una familia discriminada, como yo de una familia discriminada. Vamos a coincidir, vamos a acabar con las guerras. Me llamó la atención bastante. Ahora estamos viendo todo lo contrario. Tal vez a eso se debe el Premio Nobel de la Paz. Felicitamos. Pero en el fondo era Premio Nobel de la Paz y no Premio Nobel de Guerra o Premio de Guerra. ¿Cuáles son las razones para un juicio, para un proceso? Por supuesto, delito de lesa humanidad, los bombardeos en Libia. Díganos, dígame, antes, ¿de quién era el petróleo? Ahora, ¿de quién es el petróleo de Libia? Antes, El pueblo libio, por lo menos, se beneficia muy bien del petróleo. Ahora, ¿cómo se usa, cómo se maneja eso? ¿Qué pasó en Irán, perdón, Irak? Yo sigo convencido, detrás de cualquier guerra, detrás de cualquier intervención, lo que hacen es cómo después adueñarse de nuestros recursos naturales. Y eso hemos vivido en Bolivia. Pero allí hemos recuperado nuestros recursos naturales democráticamente. No con balas, sino con voto. No con plata, sino con la conciencia de Bolivia, del pueblo Bolivia. Enjuiciar por los actos de terrorismo internacional, financiamiento a grupos terroristas, enfrentamiento y provisión de armas a los opositores. Quiero que sepan, después de que he expulsado al embajador de Estados Unidos de Bolivia, no me arrepiento, ahora estamos mejor políticamente, democráticamente. Después de que hemos acabado, estamos acabando con el USAID, que seguía conspirando, pues queremos cooperación, bienvenido, incondicional y no bajo chantaje ni condicionamientos, a someter a presidentes de gobiernos a privatizar sus recursos naturales o los servicios básicos. Imagínense el bloqueo económico, qué daño hace a un país, es el mejor genocidio. Por eso, si realmente somos responsables de la vida y de la humanidad, si somos responsables de la verdad, si somos responsables de la justicia, de la paz, pues tenemos que organizar para sentar la mano y así nunca más ningún presidente, ni de Sudamérica, ni del Medio Oriente, ni de todos los mundos, estén dañando a la vida y a la humanidad. Quiero decirles, hermanos presidentes acá presentes, solo yo quiero comentarles, aquí, como antes era el debate, la crisis financiera, crisis climática, crisis económica o alimenticia, ahora está en debate este tema de del intervencionismo. Mientras exista imperialismo y capitalismo, nunca va a haber ni paz, ni justicia, ni libertad, ni dignidad, ni soberanía para los pueblos del mundo. De eso estoy convencido, porque tengo un poquito de experiencia. Por tanto, deberíamos plantearnos un mundo sin oligarquías, sin monarquías, sin jerarquías, y además de eso, plantearnos sin el mando, un mando quisiera que tenga el mundo. Todos tenemos soberanía y dignidad, por más que seamos pueblos pequeños, pueblos atrasados, como nos dicen, en vía de desarrollo, pero por encima de cualquiera sea nuestra situación, tenemos dignidad y soberanía. ¿Qué hace daño a la clase política? A veces la prepotencia, el abuso de poder, la corrupción, y es nuestra obligación como presidente del gobierno combatir este daño que ha, y estas políticas que hacen mucho daño a la clase política, la corrupción y abuso de poder. Y nuestra obligación es cómo cambiar la política. Quiero decirles, en mi experiencia, la política no es negocio ni beneficio. La política es servicio, compromiso y más esfuerzo para nuestros pueblos.
El presidente Evo Morales destacó en su discurso que como resultado de la nacionalización de los recursos naturales de su país se ha mejorado la situación económica de la población. 1 millón de bolivianos pasaron a la clase media y se erradicó el analfabetismo. Pueden escuchar el discurso completo del presidente Evo Morales en nuestra página blog en pueblossinfronteras.wordpress.com. Hemos llegado al final de otra edición del Informativo Pacífica. A nombre del director del proyecto, Fernando Velázquez, se despide Norma Martínez.
And coming up next on Free Radio, it's Bathrop's Pierre's Broadsides on the Stream. Stay tuned. Particular coverage of the Sunday protest and announcements of the Saturday protest coming up for the Festival of Fun. So stay tuned.
Only a problem for only one reason. The president raises the question, who owns the land? The homeless are a problem for only one reason. Our president raises the question, who owns the land? Who owns the I'm
of rules that says I ain't got no right to be. Who owns the land?
Was Land by Free, or Five. But it is free, and hope you enjoyed it. It's a frequent opener to my show. This is the stream of Free Radio Santa Cruz at freakradio.org. I'm Robert Norris, and we're going to have 2 hours of... we're kind of reviewing the last week, some comments on a few articles came out in yesterday's Santa Cruz Weekly. A lot of tape from the protest on last Sunday, the protest of street performers, activists, concerned community members against the shrink the sidewalk space laws that were passed 5-2 by City Council on Tuesday afternoon, 2 days later, and which will again kind of be the subject of a festival of fun coming up on Saturday. Day after tomorrow, downtown, 6:30, at the same place as the Sunday protest was, in front of Forever 21, the former Borders area downtown. I'm not quite sure what it was before Borders, but it's a big place, and it's at Soquel and Pacific. Everyone's invited to come, and I'll be talking a bit more about that as we go on, and perhaps getting a phone call or two. Don't have any guests planned for those of you who are wondering what's coming up on the show. But again, I think a lot of eloquent speeches were made, and there were some strong homeless voices and voices from the street on Sunday when we had the rally downtown, urging the community to stand up and resist the privatization of the sidewalks. That really is what this amounts to. And it's always a struggle. We've seen this battle before in different chapters earlier in the last two decades. It's a creeping process of seizure of the sidewalks, seizure of the spaces by corporate, commercial, merchant, and conservative interests who are really also involved in a culture war. They want to drive away all but the most... I don't know, approved performers and people from the downtown. And they can't do it, of course, explicitly. That's unconstitutional. So what they do instead is they use time, place, and manner phraseology in their laws to give police expanded powers to harass, ticket, fine, and jail people who are engaging in innocent activity that bothers no one, but that essentially allows First Amendment expression on the sidewalk. And what they've done is reduce the areas where First Amendment activity is permitted, sort of in the fashion of the George Bush administration's protest pens. I think Obama's using them too, where they keep everybody far away from the action. In this case, they crowd everybody into smaller and smaller spaces that are allowed to set up a table, put your vended material like jewelry on the sidewalk. And now you can't use a blanket or a tarp, or you won't be able to in 3 weeks, 4 weeks. It's actually a month from last Tuesday when the law goes into effect. I guess it's going to be October 24th. Unless a group of citizens circulates a referendum petition, which is highly unlikely. It's expensive and very, very time and energy consuming and requires thousands of registered voter signatures. But that doesn't mean that this law won't be successfully resisted. An earlier incarnation of this law, the sitting ban on all sidewalks in the downtown area, was resisted actually physically by great numbers of people. Folks went to jail, peacefully went to jail, challenging the law. And the laws were thrown out by local courts in one of the rare decisions of 1994, 20 years ago nearly. Then, of course, the city council turned right around and passed a more limited version of the law, which made it illegal to sit on the sidewalk within 6 feet of a building. Now, of course, that 6-foot area has crept out the forbidden zone to 14 feet, and not just of a building, but of all kinds of other things, like a crosswalk, a kiosk, a bench, a directory sign, change-making machine. There's all kinds of obstacles. Essentially reduce the place where it's legal to sit down to about 5% of the sidewalk. That area is now includes performers. Up until October 24th, performers would have had another... They would have their area shrunk, too. It was shrunk in 2002 to 10-foot forbidden zones occupy the sidewalk for performers, for any activists who have what's called a display device, which is the city attorney's way of essentially defining everybody who isn't just standing there with nothing. It gives them essentially that status of if you have a cup, if you have an open guitar case, if you have a table, any of those things make you a person with a display device, and you have to be 10 feet away from all these different things, street art, red anti-panhandler meters that are up and down the avenue. I think 5 or 6 of them are still up. Not sure how many, actually. I haven't seen them lately. But there's very little space at the current time for street performers. You can only be there for an hour. Again, another unique to Santa Cruz law that essentially overturned 22 years of successful street performer voluntary guidelines in 2002. Now they're reducing it even further. Anyway, we're going to hear more about it. You'll hear me reiterate this, and others will talk about it with some anger and some passion. And actually, in the studio with me, I have a performer who himself is impacted by these laws, because the minute he puts his cap down on the sidewalk, which he will not be allowed to do now, of course, because a cap is a flat item. He has to be perpendicular to the sidewalk. So he has to have some. He can put a box down. I guess he can put a guitar case down. He can find a way around that. But once he puts it down, he can only be in a very limited space, far more limited than was the case before. In the city with me is street poet Isaac Collins, the Lyrical Eye. Hey, Isaac, how's it going?
Good. You know, well, sir, not so happy that, you know, law passed, whatever it did pass. But yeah.
Oh boy, you're not the only one.
Yeah, you know, but I'm glad I did go out and speak out for it, because if it wasn't for performing on the streets, I wouldn't probably have a career, have something I've been doing passionately about in Santa Cruz even more.
But. And that was at the city council meeting on Tuesday during the afternoon that you, I think you showed up.
Yeah, I showed up. I spoke for that.
Now, I'm not playing those because they're online. If you want to hear those speeches, anyone who wants to can go and listen to them, who has access to a computer, of course, and they are archived. So they're not something that I'm playing because, though they were eloquent, you were limited to 2 minutes each. Very few people could say everything they wanted to say. The council had no interest in listening or meaningfully responding to anything was said. And, I mean, there were a couple of council members who did respond, who voted against at least half the ordinance. The smoking ban ordinance got unanimous consent, even though I think that numerous good arguments were made that showed, A, 75% of the homeless smoke, but only, 14 or 19% of the general population smoke. So it's largely impacts the homeless. Smokers weren't consulted in the most recent changes, just as not street performers, street artists, street vendors, political activists were not consulted in this round of shrinking usable space downtown. And, of course, the toxic fumes from cars, which was pointed out are far worse than cigarette smoke, are given a free pass, whereas smokers get hassled. Not that I'm a fan of smoking, but this is, to me, as particularly when it, for example, impacts the park, San Lorenzo Park, it's illegal to smoke, a huge park. And, of course, the thing they use to justify this is the children. And I can understand keeping smoke away from, the children's play area or certain picnic areas, but beating the bushes to find smokers in obscure areas of San Lorenzo Park is so clearly an attack on homeless people who are the main users of that park, since they're driven out of the downtown area by all these ordinances. It's just, it's disgusting in its disingenuousness. It's just deceptive. It's not really, no one's fooling anybody. It's just a cover so that the law cannot be challenged in court. You use the word homeless, then you're going to get a challenge because it goes after a class of people. But if you say it affects everybody, you can say, oh, see, it's just a time, place, and manner restriction on everyone. So it's all very fair because we're screwing everyone. It's sort of like the famous phrase, the rich and the poor alike are forbidden from begging in the streets, stealing bread, and sleeping under bridges. Anatole France's famous quote from some book that I can never remember the name of. So, Isaac, did you have anything that you thought about this? Have you come up with any poetic response? And don't be put on the spot. If you don't now, I'm sure you will. And you're going to have plenty of time to do that.
Yeah, I have plenty of time. As of right now, I'm really angry and upset with it. I've been angry, but I've been in San Cruz for 8 years, and I've seen things change over the course of these years. And so with this whole street thing performing, you can't do this, you can't do that. for me, it's kind of making me think. So I'm working on a new piece. I'm also thinking about doing a play about how you can't perform on the streets. Because I told my friend Colin about this a couple months ago. What if you can't perform in the streets no more? What if they stop letting people perform in the streets? I was talking about it a couple months ago. So to see it happen, I'm just like, huh. So I don't have anything new at this moment, but I am working on new material. I'm just really trying to reflect on this and really take it pretty serious, because it is serious for a lot of people.
Oh, yeah.
I'm still going to perform the speech. I really don't care if you put a hat, I put a hat out or not. It's not about that. It's about keeping something going.
Well, why shouldn't you have the right to put a hat out? I mean, why shouldn't you have a right to put anything out there? And it's, it may be that I'm mistaken. And maybe they may rule that, well, even if you've got something clothy out there, if it's not a blanket or a tarp, it's okay. Because it's a so-called freestanding device. I don't know if a cap that is a soft cap. You have a kind of a stiff baseball cap there. That might still, that's might still qualify.
I'll bring a little cardboard box out. It's cool. If I want to do it like that, it doesn't matter.
But there are less than a dozen or so places where people customarily perform where they'll be allowed to be.
Yeah.
And then only for an hour a day. So that means it drives away people from those areas. And that, I think, is intentional. I mean, someone would say it's an unintended consequence. That was a nice phrase that said, we didn't mean to do it, but, gosh, it happens anyway. But in any case, I think that there is a clear understanding that that's going to happen. In fact, the words congestion and, they want to clear the way for shoppers, although it's been pointed out by many people that the shoppers come to town for a variety of things, not just the knickknacks and overpriced crap you can buy in the stores, but the things that you see on the street, the kind of interactions you can have there. That's been a vibrant part of the street culture in Santa Cruz. My concern is whether it's, you know, a nice tourist draw or not, it's a right of people to use the public sidewalks for public activity, public assembly, and all kinds of other things. And that's my concern.
That's exactly how I feel. So, you know, that's why, you know, people are still going to go out to the streets. I made a perfect point at the city council. It doesn't work. No matter what you do, you can pass these laws and regulations. You're not going to stop the people from being people. It just makes no sense. You know, and they probably don't see, probably don't, because they're too rich and got all that bureaucratic money. But it just gives me a little bit more fire, because now I'm a little bit more hungry. I've been more hungry, but to see this and think about the next couple of years, what's next they're going to ban? Pretty soon they're going to make another law, and another law, another law. And all these laws are going to keep, it won't make no sense.
Yeah, it makes sense to the politicians who are courting groups like Take Back Santa Cruz and other groups. And essentially, it looks like the attempt to create the Capitola Mall downtown or the Carmel scene, you know.
Yep.
You know, it's, but, you know, how do we, we know we're going to do, they're doing this, and it's been clear for years, decades, in fact, that that's the agenda of a number of conservative merchants, not all of them, but many of them, as a number of conservative residents, and certainly there's a lot of sympathizers in the staff and in the police department who are quite ready to do that. The issue, though, for us is how do we resist it? And that's something I have no simple answer to, but I know that sometimes resistance can come from the strangest places. I know a week ago when they went after a guy with his three sons or three children who were chalking on the boardwalk, and he turned out to being a sidewalk chalk salesperson with 50 pounds of sidewalk chalk in the back of his car. He was so upset, he went downtown and distributed it all, or much of it, to people. I didn't hear this directly from him or from somebody who dealt with him. That was a story I got from an individual on the street who had heard it, so it may be partially true and partially false.
Yeah, and I saw that chalk downtown, too.
The wonderful chalking all over the place.
All over the town. You know,
and, of course, it was not covered by the Sentinel. I get the impression there was intentionally not covered by the Sentinel. And Indy Bay didn't get much of it either, but there were some individuals who privately covered it. And I tried to post a link to that guy's website if you want to check it out. I think that I referenced it in one of my comments on an Indy Bay story. Santa Cruz Indy Media is what I mean when I talk about Indy Bay. And it's at indybay.org/Santa Cruz, if you want to check out that website. We tell us, you know, a number of stories. It's a very long story with a lot of comments about the downtown ordinances that were passed, these shrink the sidewalk or, you know, shoppers only type ordinances, or shoppers mainly type ordinances, if you want to be very, very accurate. Let me, though, begin by playing some stuff from the protests. And Isaac, if you have any thoughts, you want to chime in, you let me know, and I will, you know, we'll pause the tape. And
I just want to thank you for letting me come on to your show. I haven't been here in a while, and I appreciate, you know, you coming out and speak up like you always do. And yeah.
Oh, sure. No problem, man. And you can find Isaac often down on in front of Jamba Juice Saturdays around, what, 5 or 6?
5 or 6, usually from 6 to 8. I'm going to be starting up a new...
6 to 8, that's a violation of the one-hour move-along law.
Well, yeah, you're going to have to... Or from 6 to 7, 6 to 8, I care.
Now, less. You're invited to come into the area in front of the... It's 21, it's Forever 21, because we're going to be doing a festival of fun, and you might contribute to the fun-making.
I would like to probably be part of that as
well. You can bring your rap there if you want.
I'll come bring some poetry. I'll come bring some good words.
All right, but don't bring a rubber ball. Don't bring a frisbee. You could bring a bubble blower if you are a professional bubble blower, and you might be able to bring some lemons and juggle them, but otherwise there are laws to deal with your kind, Isaac.
I know.
All right. So I'm going to play some of the protest that went on last Sunday, which, again, we're going to probably see some more stuff coming up on Saturday, though it's more sort of like a celebration. I mean, the fact is, since they intend to scrunch the space and crowd people off and threaten people with tickets for hundreds of dollars come October 24th or soon thereafter, let's use the space while we can, and let's try to figure out what to do next to see what lights the spark to overturn these repressive laws and restore traditional Santa Cruz values and spirit on the streets of and the sidewalks of Santa Cruz here. If you want to call in, you can. The call-in number is 831-427-3772. 831-427-3772. And you can also go to freakradio.org if you want to schedule for free radio. If you want to help donate something, we have no transmitter site. We have a transmitter, but we got no transmitter site. If you don't find a site, we don't get the broadcast, and that's why you're not hearing us now. If you'd like to help with that, if you have any ideas at all, please either give me a call on my off-air line, which is the Huff line, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom. It's at 423-HUFF, H-U-F-F, 423-4833. Or go to the freakradio.org website and leave a message there and let us know what your ideas and thoughts are. Get in touch with us because we want to be on the air, and we think that a lot of people want us back on the air. It's just we don't have a place to go at the moment. It doesn't require spending any money. It does require somebody who's willing to let us put up an antenna, which we've done for 2 decades. And we have to move occasionally because the FCC will harass and threaten people after a while, or people will move, or people will get nervous. But nobody has ever been fined for what we do. And that's fine with us. All right, let's get into the proceedings of last Sunday.
So it's September 22nd, 2013. We got several tables set up here in front of Forever 21. We are just circulating petitions. Thank you, David. Appreciate it. Don't destroy homeless culture downtown. Becky's providing the more signed material. Thank you, Becky. She's brought another blanket. And we are about 25 or 30 people. Tape is over here. I'll get it for you.
Come on. Talk about the issue. Come on. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Oh, well.
Superhero.
So we just had a critic talking about saying you hypocritical piece of shit, but he didn't have anything else to say, unfortunately. Here's a sign that says, stop taking our rights. So what does this mean, sir?
It means stop taking the homeless rights, ask for change, and ask people to help them out. They're not bothering anybody. They don't go up and say, hey, I need your money. They do it because we really do need help.
And your name is?
My name is Justin.
And Justin, have you done this yourself?
Yes.
And have you been hassled for doing it?
Yes, I have.
Last time that happened was?
It was in SAC a couple months ago. I got a ticket for soliciting on the mediums.
And we now have a new no soliciting on the mediums law here in Santa Cruz as well.
I did not know that. Now I do. Thank you.
Sorry to say it. And we've been talking with?
Justin Moore.
And it's not just illegal to solicit on the mediums, that is to say, to hold up a sign saying we'll work for food or to sell the newspaper Street Spirit or the street sheet on the median, as is done in San Francisco and other Bay Area cities. It is illegal to have a political sign that says, I don't know, re-elect Obama if you're an Obama fan, or U.S. out of Syria, whatever. Those are now illegal acts in Santa Cruz as of a few months ago. Again, the intention being to target homeless people without explicitly doing so, because that would be unconstitutional. So they're finding ways to inconvenience and remove the rights of everyone so they can remove the visible presence of poor people. That's what it's all about.
Thanks, Justin.
No cursing.
We curse first.
What's going on?
Hi, how are you?
Says he would like me to politely ask him to move on. I asked him to do so. He acted.
When you say move on, is he like talking to you or something?
And you know, this guy starts talking to me, and I'm like,
and what we're hearing here, if you're not going to hear much of it, but the two police officers, then eventually three police officers total, showed up and lingered near the protest for a couple of hours. Sergeant Bush, Sergeant Eveleth, and Officer Azua were there. And there was a disagreement between a street jeweler and somebody else, and nobody was arrested, nobody was cited. It was, I think, a misunderstanding, but in my customary fashion, when police appear on the sidewalk, if it appears to be, it's unclear what's going on, since often police are the arm of the merchants or some conservative person's decision that this has a hypersensitivity or allergy to poor people in public spaces and is trying to run them off, I want to make sure that's documented. So you can hear a little of that, and then you'll hear some more of the ongoing protest last Sunday.
Good luck, everyone. All right, so the demonstration seems to be acquiring greater mass. We got 30 people, maybe 35 people. Here's a man with a. I was profiled as an alcoholic by CVS, even as they were selling a half gallon of vodka. I remember that. I remember you speaking about that to a client. It's a little hard to read. Client. At 6:45 a.m., I had just gone in for a candy bar. I live in Santa Cruz for 40 years. Well, that's fine, sir, but have you been paying more money lately, is the question.
No, the problem is I don't buy the expensive stuff. I don't drink. But on the other hand, when you pay that money to CVS, they use the money, and the taxes that go back to the city especially, they use it all up in emergency service funds. Not a penny of it actually ever comes back to the citizens of Santa Cruz.
And you heard it here first from?
Anonymous.
Anonymous. Thank you, Anonymous. We have three police officers talking to Lee and Becky. We have, holding down the fort, is our man from Palo Alto. Chew him out, Chuck. How you doing, Chuck?
Okay. Mighty windy out here.
It is a little windy, no question about it.
I've thrown this shit away.
Give me that.
Throw it away.
Give me, hey.
Now, what's happening here is an individual came up and grabbed some sidewalk chalk that was on a table. This is chalk that's sold at Palace Arts Stationery, specifically labeled sidewalk chalk. Santa Cruz is one of the few cities, I don't really know how many cities do this, but traditionally Santa Cruz has no law against sidewalk chalk, but it does have a law the police have used about markings on the curb, which they have interpreted to indicate, to apply to people who write, I don't know, end the war or some such thing on the sidewalk in erasable chalk. If the protest is big enough and conservative enough, they'll ignore it. But for ordinary low-income people who are concerned about, let's say, such things as showing the zones that are left on the sidewalk, which are very small for any kind of constitutional activity, which should and perhaps will be marked out with chalk this coming Saturday, but weren't so much a little bit this last Sunday protest you're listening to, the police move on this stuff, or have. I got to say that during the protest, police did not move on any of the activists that I'm aware of or any homeless people, though people were defiantly sitting down on the sidewalk. Of course, they weren't blocking traffic. It was completely innocent and natural. There was no problem, but it was illegal. And if they'd been doing this and there wasn't a group of people around, the police would have demanded they move or cite them. And the happy hosts, or the hospitality people, as I like to call them, they call themselves the hospitality people, would have instructed people to move along, or the first alarm security thugs would have done that. When we had a significant mass of people, they didn't do that. And I think that this is the kind of selective enforcement you might say, well, see how nice and sweet the police are when you're. I don't want to rely on somebody's good nature for my basic human rights. That's not something that, you know, should be the bottom line for human rights. We need to restore the understanding in our community that we all have human rights, whether some merchants like it or not. You know, unless there's some real crime going on, then deal with the fact that there's a vibrant street life that involves give and take, back and forth. Not just take and take, which is what the merchants seem to be doing. Anyway, what you're hearing here is an individual who came up and grabbed the sidewalk chalk away from the table and shoved me and attempted to keep the chalk. I tried to grab it from him and did eventually get it back. I think he dropped it. But you can hear him you'll hear more of that. He really was guilty of assault and battery as well as theft, but we didn't actually call the police over. Or actually, what we should have done was we should have identified the guy with photographs. Because he's a passionate fellow, no doubt. He just was sort of acting out his anger that, I don't know, perhaps he regarded a disreputable group of people had chalk. Because actually, the night before, On the Saturday night, there had been a massive chalking of the downtown, prompted by abusive and stupid police enforcement practices along the Beach Street, as I understand it, if that account was accurate. Let's hear some more.
I was talking to Lee and Becky. We have, holding down the fort, is our man from Palo Alto. Chew him out, Chuck. How you doing, Chuck?
Okay. It's mighty windy out here.
It is a little windy, no question about it.
I throw this shit away.
Give me that.
Throw it away.
Give me.
Throw it away.
Give it to me.
Throw it away.
Somebody. I'm going to get the police down here right now.
I don't like this shit on the street.
Well, get yourself
out of here.
Take off, man. You just assaulted me, okay? And you just stole something. So come back. We'll get the police. Anyway, we have a sidewalk problem here. They're trying to take the sidewalks, for heaven's sake.
Not only trying to steal the sidewalk, Chuck. This mentality is trying to steal the entire sidewalk and is, in fact, doing that by these kinds of laws. That's the real problem. It's being done in a completely legal fashion, and that's what's so chilling.
Yeah. Let him tell the cops. We have a right car.
Gail, how's it going? Well, aside from the occasional assault, all is well. You know how it is. Save our sidewalks. Say no to bigotry in Santa Cruz. Say no to those who prefer to have no civil rights for poor people other than those the merchants choose to give out. Just say yes to street culture in Santa Cruz.
Sir, can you quiet down? People are trying to
I don't know if they still do this in Berkeley, but at one time, with folks selling arts and crafts, I thought for $5 a year they could have a license, a business license.
They do that. I believe that there's a lottery, I believe, or there was. I'm not sure what the situation is. So we just had an individual, you may have heard.
Before we get into that, the idea of issuing business licenses to people is not a good one for street performers and street activists because it suggests there's some kind of a problem that, I don't know, people are fighting over the space or there are a lot of complaints. There was no such documentation of any problem. It was asserted by Scott Collins and Julie Hendy, the presenters at the Santa Cruz City Council, but there was no indication of a police records or, a chart of the actual complaints or who was making them or what the complaints were, just as this was the case a decade ago when they doubled the forbidden zones because of essentially merchant pressure. And it's ironic because at the same time they were doing that, the real complaints, when they had public meetings to find out what the main issues were, the two top issues of people who voted at these meetings, and I don't know, 70 to 80 people came to the meetings, were police harassment and selective enforcement. And of course the city council went right ahead and passed laws that criminalized even more these issues. It gave the police even greater power to engage in selective enforcement and rationalized and legitimized in an ex post facto, after the fact way, what they had been illegally doing because they didn't really have the power to go after people who were sitting 7 feet away from a building. Instead of now, they could criminalize people up to 14 feet, and it's that's why licensing is not a good idea, because you don't. If there's a real problem, you might need that. People saying, I haven't got any place to sit down. Nobody has ever come up to me, and I interview people probably four nights a week on Pacific Avenue, up and down, different points. No one has said to me, I can't find a place to be on Pacific Avenue, in terms because somebody else is taking my place, or I had a confrontation with another merchant or another street vendor or another street artist. That can happen. It hasn't happened. I don't want to say it hasn't happened at all, but it is not a usual or even it's a rare complaint when I hear that kind of thing. And I'd certainly like to hear it if that was described as some kind of regular problem. it's asserted that that is one of the problems, but it's also mixed in with a bunch of things like congestion and blocking cars, coming out of your cars, people who are putting their wares on the sidewalk or have display devices there. And, of course, the reason that that's the case is because the city's merchants and staff and police have forced people away from the buildings right next to the cars. They've created the very problem that they're now complaining about, similar to not having, let's say, bathroom facilities and then complaining that everybody is shitting in the woods. I mean, it's a nice way of defaming a group of people and creating a problem where there is none if your intention is to smear people with that kind of stuff and then get rid of them altogether. I mean, do I sound paranoid? Perhaps so. But it doesn't sound that way to me based upon sort of the clear indication of what's going on.
Oh, here go the motorcycles. Angrily rolled through. He angrily came up and demanded, grabbed our truck. And I told him to let go of it.
So it's about 2:20. Becky has got the video camera going. Steve is giving out flyers. And numerous people are holding up signs. Paul's holding up Keep Santa Cruz Weird, Save Street Culture. I believe we have a petition here for the Sanctuary Campground. And someone is chalked on the sidewalk. Chalked on the sidewalk. What's going on here? Tim, can you do something? Can you find out who did this crime? I'm going to just... I don't know what to say. Save street culture and street musicians.
Yeah!
Say no to censorship in Santa Cruz. Say no to censorship on the sidewalk. Say yes to free expression downtown. Stacy, how is the petitioning for the Sanctuary Campground going?
We're close to 900 actually entered into the MoveOn platform that's online, and then there's probably another 25, 30, 40, 50 people who don't have email addresses, and so they can't be entered into the MoveOn site. So we're looking at close to 950. Our goal is 1,000.
See that you were pictured on the front page, the Sentinel
was
today.
The front page?
No, the bottom fold, but it was the front page.
Whoa, I didn't know.
Doing that evil Brent Adams. Big drum. Brent, as I sometimes have called him.
I'm not gonna agree that he's evil.
Certainly not.
And actually, at the Santa Cruz City Council on Tuesday, and at the Board of Supervisors earlier, Brent and Stacy, I believe, also, I think she was there at least on one of those occasions, presented 1,000 signatures asking for a sanctuary camp, as well as a sort of bound copy of the business plan, which was presented to all 5 supervisors and perhaps all 7 city council members. I haven't seen the business plan. I have heard the rumor that Don Lane, who's not come out for a sanctuary campground, has reportedly, and this is secondhand, I don't know if it's true, said that he would only consider it if the proponents got 1,000 signatures, and they now claim to have 1,000 signatures. Not that that really means anything. We got thousands of signatures looking for a very small reform a couple of decades ago when I did petitioning all summer in order to... It was a very limited change. We wanted people to be ticketed for sleeping in their vehicles only if they were a real complaint, not simply because the police decided they wanted to do it. And we couldn't get a so-called progressive city council headed by Marty Wormhow with John Laird and Mike Rotkin, all these great ancient liberals, for some of you old-timers may remember those names, to agree with that at all. And so we began massive protests, and that's actually all historically chronicled. If you go to the library, you can read about it in the Street Shit Sheet, which is in the reference section of the Santa Cruz Library. And I recommend people check it out. So, let's hear some more from the protest of Sunday the 22nd. Looking forward to the upcoming protest next Saturday, the 28th, the day after tomorrow, the Festival of Fun. But here's more from last Sunday. In any case.
I didn't realize we were on the front page. That's cool.
Yeah.
And now I have to go buy a Sentinel, I guess.
Oh, no. You can see it online.
I mean, I already did, but it's nice to also, like,
oh, yeah,
see it on the front page.
On the front page. Well, it's the bottom, but still.
But still.
And two sergeants have arrived, Sergeants Eveleth and Sergeant Bush, keeping an eye on the protest. How's it going?
Good, thank you.
Good. And are you with the City of Santa Cruz officially today?
Yes, I am.
And what is your position?
I'm a parking enforcement officer.
Oh, dear. Oh, my meter is not expired.
Yes, I hope not either. I'm just here to keep everything in order.
Oh, fair enough, huh? Well, I see we have a number of officers here.
Yeah, we do.
And there's a, looks like Officer Azua has arrived. If that's the man behind the dark glasses, I'm not sure. Could be.
They're here trying to keep things in order.
So, you see, we have police and city officials here. We're going to need a lot more of them when they pass these ordinances. Ordinances that make it illegal to be on 95% of the sidewalk. Yes, sir?
Who's talking sidewalk?
That's a very good question. I hope you to keep your eyes open for that kind of crime. That kind of crime in Santa Cruz really disturbs me. Erasable chalk on the sidewalk. Now, there's something that requires three police officers and two sergeants.
Yay.
No question.
Yay.
No question.
Crimes in Santa Cruz.
All right. And I've also got a number of articles I'm going to be commenting on. I'll interrupt this documentation of the protest. Because in the studio with me, I have eagerly reading through my material is, of course, Lyrical Eyes at Collins. One of the articles that came out in last Friday's paper and actually is now headlined in today's Santa Cruz Weekly, yesterday's Santa Cruz Weekly, is a story of a lawsuit which is being filed on behalf of an ex-security guard out at the homeless lack of security center, as I call it, or lack of a shelter center. And this is Jeremy Miller is the man who's filing. This is an African-American former security guard who describes a hostile work environment there at 115 Coral Street, taunted with racial slurs by homeless people who ate and slept there, not paid overtime or provided proper meal breaks and work breaks. He's seeking money. His attorney, which wasn't mentioned in the original Sentinel article, but which came out in yesterday's weekly article, is Jonathan Gettleman, who is an activist attorney. Well, he's not an activist attorney, but he is an attorney concerned with civil rights who put in a lot of energy defending Anna Richardson back in 2009, one member of a homeless couple who were mercilessly harassed by the city attorney, trying to drive them out of Santa Cruz with a civil injunction against essentially sleeping anywhere downtown. And this went on. This cost, I don't know, tens of thousands of dollars for them to go after these two. They couldn't. The amount of damage that these two did by sleeping where they did sleep was never even estimated, because it was negligible as far as I could see. Anyway, Gettleman took their case, and he also took the case of Linda Lemaster, I believe. And he's also taken a number of other cases, but at least those are the two that come to mind. The issue here with Jeremy Miller is a troubling one for me, and I know Isaac is, he says he knows Jeremy. Isaac, Jeremy's someone you know, friend of yours, or just someone you know?
I've done a lot of work at the shelter, and I used to see him there, like being security guard and doing his job, so I know him. And also from Occupy, when I was in Occupy, he was out there in the campment as well.
You know, I'm remembering the Santa Cruz Weekly story, which I may have with me too. It may be in that bunch of newspaper articles you're looking for. He's according to the Sentinel story, he's a first alarm security guard who patrols the property. He was a campus supervisor patrolling a lot to make sure there were no drugs or fights or illegal drug use. Wore a necklace, badge, and clothes similar to a mechanic, because he said homeless clients don't respond well to uniformed guards. He was threatened several times using the N-word, nigger. Let's call a spade, if you'll excuse the phraseology. You can call me a kike if you want. My parents were Jewish. I don't like it, but I want to talk about it if it's coming up, not pussyfoot around. He endured daily home harassment, according to the Sioux. He was spit upon, pushed, and punched. And that's interesting. And my initial reaction was, some sympathy for the guy. But then I thought about it some more, and this is where you and I may or may not agree. I don't know, Isaac. Security guards are put in a difficult position because they tend to believe that they have the right to use force and threats to keep people in line in different situations. People who have already faced all kinds of crap all day long as homeless people. And that kind of situation, it can be, you know, difficult for the security guard, but it can be more difficult for the people that are being shoved around, threatened with loss of their meals, loss of services, treated like pieces of shit or less than human beings by individuals who are in a position of authority, however much they may be nice and not wearing a security uniform. So I don't know much. I may have even talked to Jeremy myself, and I don't know the ins and outs of this whole situation. But I do know that if you look at the second story on this, which is, I don't know if you've got it over there or not, I was reading it earlier today, which is in the Santa Cruz Weekly, published yesterday, you find a sort of the, you don't get any discussion from the clients about how Jeremy treated people out there. In other words, I have very little sympathy for the homeless lack of services management. I've said that before, even though I feel the attacks on them by Take Back Santa Cruz, that simply want to run homeless people away, is also a bunch of crap. But I think that the management is, you know, in a position where it does not advocate for homeless people. It's trying to play little cop to people and then put that pressure into the hands of underpaid people like Jeremy Miller. And then when they get the shit and they get called, you know, nigger and asshole and whatever the hell they're called, that is a consequence of the position in which they're put. They're being asked to enforce regulations and rules that essentially are treating people like less than human beings. Again, I'm sure that's not always the case, and I don't even know if it's the case in the majority of cases, but I know how First Alarm security guards treat homeless people around the library, around City Hall, and downtown. And while I don't get that kind of treatment usually myself, because I carry a tape recorder with me, and I'm happy to discuss it further with them if they start acting in this fashion toward me and suggest that they're going to make a hit on the radio with it, and that's fine. I think a lot of people get that kind of treatment. And what's your thought about that? What's security guards, black or white, people who are part of First Alarm, how do you feel about that, Isaac?
Well,
you're African American yourself.
Yeah. Well, when you're working in that environment, down at the shelter, because I know that shelter group, you know, you're going to have people that are going to say racial slurs and do all that, you know? But I also understand, you know, like, yeah, that environment is kind of crazy down there. You have to deal with that. That comes a part of the job. But I also understand Jeremy, he didn't have no training. No one told him about that. No one told him how he's going to be treated. And there should be more training on that. There should be more people that spoke up and did all that. It's not good to be called a nigger and all these different racial, it can put a lot of weight on you, a lot of stress.
Sure.
You know, so, like I said, I feel, you know, that it should be more training, you know, like, you know, he should have knew that. You know, he should have knew, like, yeah, he's going to be dealing with this in San Francisco. He's going to be dealing with alcohol. He's going to be dealing with people that are not happy, because a lot of people don't like security guards. No one wants to be security or controlled by some higher authority. They like people to treat them with respect and be able to communicate them with respect, not the anger. And, you know.
Yeah, I mean, to me, the question is, it's like police officers. You know, I am often almost regularly critical of police officers downtown, how they treat homeless people and street people and folks who are artists and singers and so forth. Although in many cases, you know, I've heard that they, you know, treat them just fine. But the issue to me, it becomes their responsibility, I think, as they see it, is either to enforce a series of laws that have been put in place essentially to depopulate the downtown of these kinds of folks, our kind of folks, if you will, or to respond to merchant concerns. Whenever the merchant wants to use them as their little auxiliary, goon squads, they can do that. And they show up in massive numbers. It's amazing the number of police that can show up for one person sitting next to a building that says, sorry, I've decided I'm going to sit here anyway, and no one's here. The building's been closed. I'm tired. Go bother somebody else. That becomes a major issue. Or somebody smoking a cigarette on the side street. I've seen this three squad cars double parked in the street to stop one guy's smoking a cigarette. And this is the kind of shit we're going to see more and more of. And the problem with, you know, this lawsuit against Jeremy Miller, or by Jeremy Miller against the Homeless Lack of Services Center, is I don't think any amount of training is going to do it if people are being put in a position of having to enforce abusive laws and services. And at the Homeless Lack of Services Center, you get a lot of people crowded into a situation where there could be a lot of pressure, and there's inadequate services, and there's no real shelter. And also, you know, the response people at the Homeless Lack of Services Center uses is, I think, necessarily just to kind of do the lowest common denominator, starting to treat people like units, like, I don't want to say like cattle, but that can happen too.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm not out there much, so I don't know. Maybe they're treating people delicately with kid gloves these days. But you might know more. Isaac, when's the last time you were out at the Homeless Lack of Services Center?
I haven't been down there 2 weeks, but I do go down there, like I said, weekly. So they, you know, they don't treat people like cattle. You know, it's kind of like that. It's sad to say. It's like, you know, people get you respect, but I see the security guards yelling at the people, they treat them like they're nothing. Like, oh, it's a way, but it's, yeah, like cow. Like, I see that.
And it puts you in a really difficult position when you read this. Jeremy Miller, I'm sure he probably has been treated unfairly by the management. But the problem is he was probably treating a lot of other people unfairly, too. And what do you do with this? I don't have any answer except to describe the dilemma that we're in, which really is that a lot of people are being herded into a situation because they have no housing, no jobs, no services, or very little inadequate services, and they're criminalized in most of the town, and the pressure is stepping up. That is the problem, and that's what this protest is about. Any other thoughts, Isaac?
No, I feel you. That's exactly what I feel what's going on right now. Like, they're stopping people performing. They're trying to make it harder. The next thing they're going to do it's not going to be like that. The next year is going to be another thing. Pretty soon they're going to stop having Greyhound systems. Like, I just pay attention to everything every year. I've been here for 8 years, and I've seen a lot of change, which has destroyed a lot of good things, but it's made people stronger.
I hope so. I don't know. It seems like it's driven a lot of people away, and
only the
people who are really the most, I don't know, I'm going to say bottom of the barrel or determined or, you know, I don't know. It just seems that the gentler folks are just driven off by this kind of treatment.
They don't want to be it.
Uh-huh. Yeah, let's hear some more from last Sunday's protest.
Hey, save the sidewalks from the sidewalk filters. Stop the misuse of our police department. Why are these poor men required to be here? These guys should be doing some real good work somewhere else.
Hey, Robert.
Yes.
Didn't we recover your car one time?
Three times.
Three times.
Right. Police officers deserve better than this. Why four police officers? One, two, three, four, and a host. Why? To make sure that free speech doesn't get out of hand, I guess. I don't know. That's,
What it really is, of course, is it's the fact that you have this public safety hysteria and mythology that is being used as a cover to ramp up popular support for measures and regulations that essentially drive away homeless people and make it a, quote, unwelcoming place.
The new Santa Cruz. Steve Plage, where are you going? Don't leave. What, off to your next engagement? Come on, Steve.
Steve Plage is, of course, a homeless legal assistance project guy. Often serves, he regularly serves bagels. He's a suicide prevention guy. Calls into the Santa Cruz, to Free Radio Santa Cruz. And he's recently earned my ire by banning me from his Citizens for a Better Santa Cruz website because I challenged Ken Collins' credentials. Ken Skindog Collins, who's a member of Take Back Santa Cruz, whose leader is profiled in this week's Santa Cruz Weekly, along with the story about Jeremy Miller, the security guard. He didn't stay. Place didn't stay to give any speeches. He came back and sort of lingered on the side. It's like he doesn't want to be associated with these protests directly. Yesterday or day before yesterday at City Hall, though he was there when people were speaking, he refused or declined or chose not to speak against the anti-homeless ordinances. And I find that very significant when that happens. And I think it's telling. If that's one of your main concerns. Anyway, more from the street.
We have some rather tortured singing here. Come to the Santa Cruz City Council meeting, end the war on the homeless, cop watch, support art, and downtown for all.
Those are signs I'm reading.
Very good. Folks are taking different photos from a distance. The sidewalk and art and music will be reduced by at least 3/5 starting in 2 days if the city council passes these laws. New laws. No leaning against the building, Azu. A show of respect. Hey, this is a building. Hey. I mean, for God's sake.
Hey.
Yes.
Why aren't you dressed up to impress?
You dress up. Why can't I dress up?
I mean, what's up with this pajamas?
Well, I'm trying to avoid, tackling people on bicycles, bringing them down to the sidewalk, as I hear one officer did about a year ago. Who would that be?
I'm referring, of course, to Officer Azua, who brought down Jessica Grabowski to the sidewalk, assaulting her and her companion. In order, because of her crime was she was wheeling her bike along on the sidewalk, not riding it, but sort of moving it along with her feet, sort of one step at a time. Officer Azua is one of the three officers who stayed, two sergeants and Officer Azua. And he didn't give anybody tickets. He just stood there. And that went on throughout most of the protest. And I was wearing a bathrobe and sporting a teddy bear, Eduardo the police bear, as I call him, or others have a name for Eduardo but who knows what that is.
Say no to corporate seizure of the sidewalks. Say yes. Say yes to downtown for all. Everyone.
We see Steve explaining things to an individual.
Go ahead. Don't stop. I'm going to get this on tape.
A more conservative band over recent years. It has a lot of more neighbor, homeowning, more conservative type of people who want to.
This is Steve Schnarr, who is a bicycle activist who has been active in trying to get the bikes the police department has confiscated and is refusing to distribute to poor people and to charities, to nonprofits, because Hillary Bryant and the city council have essentially rerouted them to the bike dojo. And I think that whole thing was put on hold 2 or 3 months ago after happening for a year. But still the bikes are stalled, as you'll hear more of in the course of this audio if we get to it.
Clean up Santa Cruz and get the weirdos out and have a better shopping experience. And you should totally let the council know.
I don't know if they care about somebody.
They don't, but it's good that you do.
Okay, I will see you.
I'm a singer, not a screamer, not gonna force you to make you see. Just listen to the sound of a voice and the love that's in it. This is our home, and nothing changes the fact that we're in it together.
Literally.
probably wouldn't have written that song that I just sang had I not started singing here on the streets of Santa Cruz about 5 years ago. I never would have been able to write that song because it was because we were allowed to sing on the street that one day I picked up a ukulele and put down a hat and started singing the ukulele because I wanted to sing and I wanted to bring my love for singing to people here in Santa Cruz because this is my home and I grew up here. And so I wouldn't have been able to do that. I wouldn't have been able to find the inspiration for that song had I never started singing here in Santa Cruz. And denying other artists that right is total bullcrap.
And you are?
I'm Jordan Sitfield.
All right. You want to say any more? Are you good?
I'm good. That's all I've got to say.
So the next speaker. The next speaker is going to be, as soon as she's finished talking with Councilmember Posner's father, Becky Johnson, who's been working on these issues for 20 years.
Easily.
Do you want me to do the camera?
Well,
you want me to do it?
Hi, I'm Becky Johnson. I'm with a group called Huff. Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, and we're a not-for-profit grassroots civil rights advocacy organization for poor and homeless people. Today, we gather to protest. Today, we gather to use First Amendment rights that will be seriously curtailed in a little over a month under the pretense of public safety. Next month, we will likely lose vast areas of public space, greatly limiting our right to speak, to set up a political table, to circulate several petitions at once, our right to seek redress of government grievances, and our right to peaceably assemble in the center of our community. For years, the city of Santa Cruz, at the urging of the Downtown Association and carried out by the Santa Cruz Police Department, has continuously violated the rights of artists and musicians to display and sell their works in public spaces. A pushback was made right here on Pacific Avenue by recording artist and street performer Mike True, who challenged the citation he was issued for displaying his CDs of his original work. And in court, he won.
All right.
Later, his case and others recently won a further victory, which unambiguously asserts that artists and musicians can display their works of art in public spaces without the need of any kind of permit. As you know, all rights are subject to time, place, and manner restrictions if the state, and in this case we're talking about the government of the city of Santa Cruz, can prove an overwhelming public health or safety hazard that justifies limiting or restricting First Amendment rights. Make no mistake, the public safety, quote, emergency that is so horrible that council members Cynthia Matthews and David Brazos have ordered our government to limit the rights and freedoms of the citizens of Santa Cruz to exercise our First Amendment rights. The purpose is to continue to prevent artists and musicians and political tablers to exercise our legal protected rights. The emergency is that artists and musicians now have the legal and protected right to display their art or music. The horror! People, this is about greed and hate, nothing else. A phony trip ball hazard was presented at the urge of banning blankets and tarps and artists. The ordinance, which bans people who are presenting art, performing music, political tables, this ordinance protects trash cans, fences, and statues. Please stop this backlash against the color and character of our community. Don't make Santa Cruz the city known for sing a song, go to jail.
He won't.
Show a painting, go to jail. Smoke a cigarette, go to jail. Protect your First Amendment by using it. Thank you.
All right. Well, Becky. All right.
And actually, just a clarification, I'm looking at a online time, place, and manner regulation, which is the constitutional the club that is being used to crunch the Constitution on and crunch the space on the sidewalks. You don't have to show an overwhelming public safety emergency, as Becky states, but you do have to show that any regulations are content neutral. You have to show that they serve an important objective not involving the suppression of speech, that the law is narrowly tailored, and that there remains ample alternative means of communication. Those are the sort of four criterion. Again, content neutral, narrowly tailored, an important government objective not involving the suppression of free speech, and ample alternative means of communication. Those actually have become a huge drafty open door that allows in a real kind of fascistic enforcement against all kinds of people and all kinds of things by crowding people into very narrow, limited spaces. That's what's happening in Santa Cruz. And that, I think, is the point and the true spirit and which Becky is referring to.
And she should know she has gone to jail for chalking on the sidewalk. $1,000 bail. Next up is a man from Palo Alto. He drove over here today in his vehicle. He lives in his vehicle. In Palo Alto, it has just become illegal to live in your vehicle. In Santa Cruz, it's illegal to sleep in your vehicle after 11 o'clock at night or to sit in your vehicle and read a book for more than 15 minutes in any of the downtown parking lots. These gentlemen will see to it that you don't violate those laws if they're called upon to do so or if they feel like doing it. But Chuck here is from Palo Alto. He's going to talk about what he's seen, what he can tell us from what's happening over there, and what we can do here.
Thank you, Robert. It's a pleasure to be here. I support fully your right to use the streets for art, for self-expression, for political organization, and I disagree with the rules that prevent you from doing those things. You're allowed to do those things. They're protected rights in the Constitution. You have the right to speech. You have the right to do the necessities of life, which includes sleeping. You will win. I'm sure you will win eventually in the courts. You may not win immediately, but you will win eventually. These are rights that are important. As a visitor to Santa Cruz, I gotta say, the first thing I thought when I heard that you were losing these street rights was how much less interesting Santa Cruz will be to come visit.
Yeah.
Woo! I don't understand who wouldn't get this, but the color, the life, the vitality, the music, the art, this is at least, I don't know, 30%? Of the attraction why people come to Santa Cruz. I don't know how merchants can imagine that they'll do business when they don't have tourists coming here. It seems to me they're killing the golden goose, shooting themselves in the foot, participating in a circular firing squad, whatever you want to call it. It's not smart. I don't understand it. It's not human. Homeless people are human. Yes, people are afraid of us, but you know what? Trying to make us go away and exterminating us didn't work with the Jews in World War II. It didn't work with the American Indian in this country. As poorly as the American Indian has been treated, as subjugated, and as persecuted, the American Indian still is alive. It didn't work with the Japanese, who were rounded up around here in World War II and put in concentration camps. They're still alive. You can't get rid of things that you're afraid of by banning them, by killing them. It doesn't work. If people are afraid of homeless people, which I understand, the thing to do is come meet homeless people. Introduce yourselves. Shake hands. Have a conversation. The answer is not banning. Banning doesn't work. It has never worked. The most oppressive regimes in the history of the world that you've ever heard of still have their opponents alive. It doesn't work. And trying to get rid of art, I really think that's been tried and failed too often. Hitler, Stalin, these people tried to control art, to make it serve the state. It didn't work. It never works. Art is vital. This man wrote a song because he was on the streets. That's where art comes from, is from the people. What do you think folk art is? It's people art. People on the streets. People in wherever they are. You can't ban people wherever they are. Wherever they might be, that's where they are. You can't ban them. And you can't make art illegal. It doesn't work. So I congratulate you for caring about this, for coming out and protesting this. I wish you well in continued protests. I will try to help you as I can. And you will win. This is not constitutional. It's not human. It's not smart. And it will fall. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Chuck.
And I don't know if I agree with Chuck that we will win in the courts, certainly. I've got less optimism than he does. But a combination of court and street and internet and just spontaneous action that we can't really predict will be the form of is important and I think is likely in this situation because, one can always be wrong. It can be that the streets are going to dry up in Santa Cruz or become simply commercial venues or largely commercial venues with only these very limited areas where people will, you know, struggle with each other for the opportunity to spend 1 hour a day to sit down with their cap and play their guitar. In this tiny area, you're only allowed 3 squares on the sidewalk, which isn't enough really for a table and a chair unless you're, standing on the table. I guess we could stand on our tables and shout out our concerns as people walk by like wild and crazy folks. Anyway, here's more from the protest from last Sunday, and we'll be having another on Saturday of a somewhat different and more celebratory kind called Festival of Fun, which I invite everybody to come down to, where we will be. Deputized officers confiscating elements of crime, you know, things like chalk and rubber balls and frisbees, things that are illegal in Santa Cruz on the downtown streets. You didn't know about that, the listeners? Well, they are. They're all illegal under the downtown ordinances, not the new ordinances that were passed, but the current ordinances. In fact, this Festival of Fun is an attempt to, people will do what they're going to do with these items downtown. Some of us can urge them to be turned into the police immediately for as dangerous weapons, kind of like a gun control approach. We can perhaps offer some reward for every rubber ball or tennis ball turned in, every squirt gun passed over. You know, that will be, every piece of erasable chalk that is given, which we can pass on and then lock up and give to the police to maybe burn and destroy somewhere so that it won't be used for crime downtown. And or people may do what they did last Saturday, which is, God help us, I hope they don't chalk all over the place and engage in free speech activity that is not in accord with the time, place, and manner concerns of our guardians on the city council and in the police force. That has happened too in the past, and that's a great disgrace in Santa Cruz that people will actually exercise their First Amendment rights against the wishes of the authorities who know best what needs to be done. Of course, you can hear a certain perhaps sarcastic edge to my voice. So, let's hear some more from this protest from last Sunday in front of Forever 21. The one that will be coming up on Saturday is going to be at 6:30. And it's going to be again in front of Forever 21, the large store that's across the street from New Leaf Market across Soquel at Soquel and Pacific.
Chuck Jagoda from Palo Alto. Next speaker, I believe they have that, a man from, he's shaking his head. Come on, Dennis, you can say something about this. But before, Greg. Before he does, I want to point out something. The amount of space that will be allowed a street vendor, a street performer, a person with a political table, or someone sitting with any kind of a sign will be this amount of space. Three of these squares will be all that is allowed. One, two, three. That is all, 12 square feet. That's how much it is. But this is 16 square feet. Three of these is 12 square feet. You will have to be 12, that is to say 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 squares away from the other anybody else who is sitting with a panhandling cup or a guitar or a political table. You will not be allowed to be within 14 feet of a building, a kiosk, a bench, a phone booth, a crosswalk, a discovery, a directory sign, a trash can, a compactor, and I believe there are numerous other. You can't be within 14 feet of that change-making machine or 14 feet of those imagined meters that attempt to drive away people from panhandling, giving panhandling contributions to people who need them or who want them.
That's fascism.
It's a pretty severe restriction of the streets. There's no question about it. And it is going to be enforced by these guys who will be busy telling you what to do after you've been politely told to move along by the hosts, the people in the yellow jackets. So that's what we have to look forward to. Plus, you will not be able to be in this kind of an area for more than an hour. Then you'll have to move to the, if you can find another spot, you'll have to move to another spot. That is another law that is currently on the books and that will continue to be enforced, I imagine.
Yes, and it's the amount you move along law, by the way. Yes, name her for that.
Also, you will not be allowed, this will become a criminal device a week from Tuesday, a month from Tuesday. This is a blanket. If you put it on the sidewalk and you try to use it to display your jewelry, you try to use it to sit on with your guitar, you try to use it for any purpose, it will be illegal to do that. It sounds kind of crazy. That's what the city council is proposing. It is proposing to do this with no downtown commission vetting. It hasn't gone to any of the public. We heard about it 2 days before it was put on the, before the council meeting showed up, 3 days actually, 72 hours. It is also something that they didn't go to the street vendors or the street musicians or the artists or the political tailors to ask how it would affect them. They just laid down the law. And that's what they're intending to do on Tuesday at 3. Just thought I'd mention that Dennis Edler here is a man who is, I've had frequent debates with, had him on my radio show. He's been an activist with Occupy Santa Cruz. Well, talk about yourself, Dennis. Who the hell are you? Tell everybody about
it. I'm just a concerned citizen. And, excuse me. And as my sign says, end the war on the homeless. Now, we fought a so-called war on terror. And what is the purpose of that war? It's not to end terrorism. There have been hardly any terrorism to speak of in this country. It's an excuse. It's a political ploy to allow us to invade countries that we deem to be our enemies. Then there's the war on drugs. And what is the war on drugs? Is it to eliminate drug use in this country? No. Drug use has escalated ever since the war on drugs. The war on drugs, again, it's a ploy to criminalize a whole generation of minority youth. So now we have a war on the homeless here in Santa Cruz. And again, is it for public safety? Come on now. It's a political ploy. It's so the demagogues in the city council can put fear into the hearts of the citizenry and get themselves elected. That's all I want to say. You know, it is a bogus, all these laws are bogus attempts to demagogue the homeless and just basically get themselves more political power. So that's all I want to say.
Thank you, Dennis.
Okay.
Our mayor, at least. So, Steve Schnarr, you, sir, you talk about what's happening with bikes in Santa Cruz and where they are. Why aren't they going directly to poor people now as they did from the bike church? You want to come talk about that just briefly? We're planning to speak. I just ambushed him.
Thank you, Steve.
Well, I wasn't planning to speak today, but... I've seen... I moved to Santa Cruz 12 years ago, and it seems like since then and maybe before, there's been an increasing attack on people being downtown who aren't shopping. We called it the downtown ordinances. I remember at one rally we had maybe 10 years ago, there was a chant that I thought was pretty good one that was, "We're here, we're poor, we're not going shopping.
We're here, we're poor, we're not going shopping.
We're here, we're poor, we're not going shopping.
We're here, we're poor, we're not going shopping."
I like it, I like
it.
Yeah,
so this unfortunate set of rules that's just being passed right now is part of a trajectory which is an assault on public space and trying to prioritize certain classes of people over others. And, I'm glad that you're all standing up to it. I had a lot of good conversations with people. I would encourage us to do that. Just talk to people. Do you like seeing street performers and musicians? And, like, so many people, of course, didn't want to talk, but a lot of people were like, "Oh, yeah, I love that. That's part of what makes Santa Cruz great." And so I think we need to get out there and keep talking to people and even tourists and get them to talk to the city council and say, "Hey, I'm a tourist. I come to Santa Cruz partly because there's a lot of cool stuff happening, and I don't want it just a sanitized shopping district. I could go somewhere. I don't have to come all the way over the hill for that."
Yeah.
I don't think it's that directly connected. So there's just Robert has asked me to talk about this. Another aspect of strange city politics, which isn't serving the public very well, was they had a program of distributing bikes that had accumulated at the police unclaimed for months and giving them to youth in need through various nonprofits. And I don't need to get into all here about this rally, which is about the stuff about public space restrictions, but basically another bureaucratic foot dragging and official lack of clear answers, but hopefully it'll get reinstated soon. We've been fighting about it for over a year, and they've stopped distributing them, and then hopefully get it going again. But if it is another example of how our city council is not serving the whole population, they have an agenda of they're drifting more conservative every year. So in addition to standing up to these particular things that come up at the city council right now, we need to be organized next election and kick the bums out, get some more people in there that are not going to keep making it worse year after year. Thank you, Steve. And what I wanted to bring out, which Steve well knows, and I'm sure he'll talk to you about it if you'd like himself, is that it is the police department that stopped bikes going to the bike church a year and a half ago, and the city council and the police department that rerouted those bikes to a private individual for-profit business, the Bike Dojo, downtown.
Church! What church?
And what that means, now what's happened is under some public pressure, they're talking about changing this, but they're talking and talking and talking, and they aren't doing it. The bikes are not going out. As I understand, and Steve, if I'm wrong about this, please correct me.
Sitting at the police right now.
Bikes are sitting at the police department instead of going out to poor people and nonprofit groups that need them.
My little brother needs a bike.
Here, here.
They don't even know it. That's how corrupt they are.
So
you have to get trouble so they can wake up and grow up.
And there are other things that are happening, of course. The sweeps on the levee, in the Harvey West, in the Poganip, on the beaches, attacking homeless people for the crime of sleeping. 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 The crime.
That happened at the Harvey West Park the other night.
Do you want to come up and talk about it?
No.
Go for it. Go, come up and tell us about it. This is Cece.
And that's Ray.
Kyria. Kyria.
And this is Kyria. And this
that's
is...
my husband, Lykos.
Lykos. This is her husband, Lykos.
Lykos.
Lykos. Sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Whoever's got the loudest voice.
That would be that one.
I'll do it.
Go for it. Tell the folks.
And hold this for me.
It was two nights ago. Okay, everybody.
We want to hear
this was two nights ago. We're all laying down. We don't sit there and go running through the bushes and everybody else's shit, breaking things and causing trouble and getting high like fucking dope fiends that you guys don't really go bother. But apparently, if you lay your shit out to go to sleep, you're doing something illegal. If you sit where they tell you you can sit to cook a meal, and you do that, you're doing something illegal. We did was fix ourselves something to eat, lay out our bedding, and next thing we know,
make
we have
coffee
up our ass, talking shit like a regular Gestapo. Apparently, sleeping's fucking illegal. We always clean up our trash, we mind our own business, and we don't harass people. I don't get it. Why is it fucking illegal to go to sleep? Well, why don't you guys just make it illegal to breathe? Same difference.
Yeah, really, huh?
Other homeless people got their property stolen by the police and not returned. Do you know anything about any of that?
Yes,
yeah.
We do.
Watch the cops walk into Harvey West Park and shred people's tents.
I've heard complaints about people's marijuana crops with medical marijuana cards being seized by the police. Have you heard anything about that?
Yeah, a friend of mine named, we call him Nasty. They walked into his camp full well that all the cards are posted. Medical marijuana cards, 420, whatever the hell those cards amount number is. And they ripped out an entire crop of plants that were going to the fucking, what do you call those, dispensaries. They were already ready to be paid for. There wouldn't be this many homeless people out here if you guys wouldn't keep ripping our only means of making money out of the ground. We don't fuck you guys, and we have the means to do it. I mean, come on. Why would you walk into somebody's house? How would you like it if we walked into your house and ripped your shit apart? And broke your stuff?
And took your bikes and shit.
Took your bikes and called you bums and started calling you names and shoving you around. I watched a fucking cop the other day knock an old man to the ground who had a fucking cane. Why? Because he was homeless and panhandling. I watched a fucking cop knock a guy to the ground who was homeless and panhandling and he had a fucking cane. What kind of shit is that?
Fuck that.
No, it's
probably one of those guys.
They are.
But apparently we're the criminals, right? But we don't walk around knocking people over just because we can. We don't walk around treating people like shit and calling people names and getting in everybody's faces. We don't go around disrespecting people. No, we just want to have our peace and we want to be left alone. Yeah, we might be out here panhandling, but we're not all up in your face. We're not being rude. We're not being aggressive. We're not cussing you guys out. Why the hell you gotta treat us like shit? We didn't do nothing to you. We just wanna live. Come on, guys.
All right, thank you very much. Thank you.
Now, these are the kind of accounts that I get every day when I come downtown or I talk to people at the Red Church on Mondays or when I go to the Food Not Bombs meal, which the woman wearing the Cop Watch sign cooks every Saturday.
Food Not Bombs!
These are stories of criminalizing the most basic human needs. Sleeping, having your personal property, having a right to do what these two women are doing. And this is illegal. What these two women are doing is against the law right now.
There, I'm referring to two women sitting down on the sidewalk off to the side.
Why? They're within 50 feet of that blue sacred monument right there.
That's a change-making machine I'm referring to in front of Forever 21.
No, I
the change-making machine.
Impossible man to prove.
Realize that to sit down here is a crime. I went in 14 feet of a building. I mean, I'm hurting the sidewalk by sitting down. These are already the abusive laws that we see and have to deal with in Santa Cruz, which these police officers will enforce at the whim of a bigot, at the whim of a merchant, at the whim of a host who's walking around with a smile on her face and telling you what you can and cannot do.
Home monitor. We welcome veterans home. We welcome veterans home by making criminals for being homeless.
And Davis, you want to talk about the veterans? You want to come up here and talk about that? Dave is a veteran. He's also run for city council in the past, and he's survived AIDS, and he's had to be outside homeless for 6 months himself.
Yeah, I was a homeless rights activist. I worked in a creative special homeless unit in Fresno. I tried to specialize in homeless cases here in Santa Cruz, but no matter how much I thought I was on the client side, I had no fucking idea how much grief those police were going to give me, how much I was going to get kicked in the side, how much I was going to get thrown around, how much my property was going to get stolen. Everything, what last little after I buried my mother and my two exes and came home to Santa Cruz, I didn't expect to have this trouble. I thought I knew better. But I met a lot of veterans. See, I've been out for quite a while. But I got in touch with veterans. It's a good thing I did. If you know any veterans at all that are homeless, send them in the Veterans Administration, because Veterans is working now for the first time since I can remember. Veterans is starting to really work. So if you know any homeless veterans, send them on in. But veterans always get criminalized. The first 6 months they're out of service, they're criminalized for being homeless, they're criminalized for not having money. Any excuse, they're criminalized. And it's ridiculous. Ridiculous.
Thank you, David. All right. It is also true that the Veterans Hall has been closed for 3 years on bogus pretexts that it has architectural damage. It was a community center. It was closed down. You should also know that this kind of attack on homeless people on the sidewalks, in the parks, which are closed at night, on the beaches, and elsewhere in town, impacts the entire community. For instance, you're no longer allowed to take a sign, like some people are holding up here, sit down, like some people are doing, on the steps of the county building, on the steps of City Hall, after a certain hour at night, because, you see, there's a danger that your sign might attack them. It is... This was America, but 2 years ago it was made illegal to be there. In fact, we have a woman here who was cited for it. You were cited for being sitting at the county building after dark. We've had a man who slept on a bench who got 2 years in jail for sleeping on the bench. Gary Johnson. Gary Johnson got 2 years in jail, suspended, but anything he does wrong, 2 years he goes to jail because he slept on a bench with a sign that said the right to sleep. Sleep should not be a crime.
What the fuck?
Yes, exactly. So, that's what we have here.
And I did get an answer finally from the Board of Supervisors on Tuesday when I was there at the oral communications period. They meet every week on Tuesday on the fifth floor of the county building, for those who are interested. And oral communication, your chance to talk on any subject for 3 minutes, is at 9 o'clock. I asked the questions about when this veterans building in downtown Santa Cruz was going to be reopened, because there was some flowery words about how that was nearly done. We've been hearing that for years. And I was told by the some supervisor that he announced finally to the public would be in November. Too late to be open for the Thanksgiving meal, too late to be open for the Christmas meal, but and again, I can't even vouch for whether that is an accurate assessment. It's hard to tell, because politicians don't have to be accountable for these things, unfortunately, unless masses of people make them accountable and descend on them with demands. Then they suddenly start paying more attention.
Now, this is supposed to be a speak out, and I wanted to invite people to come and speak who have accounts to tell about what's happened to them. Here's a man who was denied access to Cruzio Works. That's right, the liberal Cruzio Works, which is a great, you know, internet provider in Santa Cruz. He wanted to get 24-hour computer space. He paid them $300. When a neighbor saw he was homeless and complained, that's a homeless man and his son, they tore away the contract, they shoved the money back at him, and they said, you can't be here unless we make sure that you're an okay kind of person first. They don't do that to non-homeless people. This is what used to happen with Jews. This is what used to happen in the South with blacks. This is what happens in other communities with minorities. Go ahead. This is Sean, who's also now on Free Radio.
My name's Dan, a.k.a. Sean Deluge. I grew up in Santa Cruz. I grew up here, and I saw my first street musician here. And when I got my first job, the first thing I wanted to get was a guitar. I loved that you could play music anywhere you wanted. So I worked my ass off and got my first guitar, got my first home, and my first girlfriend. I love Santa Cruz. It was a beautiful place. It was wonderful. People were nice and kind. A week ago, I heard that Santa Cruz is a mean town, and I believed it. I believe that there are people here that think that this town is mean, and it is mean. It's mean and greedy and wants to tear down the homeless. It wants to chase them off. It doesn't like it because they're tacky looking. They're ugly looking. We want a pretty city. We want a
I will endorse that.
Let him finish. Let him finish.
We
I
want
will endorse that.
Go ahead.
We are seeing the attack on art and music. We're attacked on our free speech. We can't sleep. We are constantly being harassed and harangued. It is a mean city. I don't want to see the town I grew up in being a mean city. I want it to be a lovely, caring, wonderful, artistic, magical place. Let's make Santa Cruz a beautiful, artistic, magical place. Thank you.
Thank you, Sean.
Thank you, brother. Thank you, man. Thank you.
You want to say something?
I endorse that all the way. I second that motion. You guys are beautiful. Thank you for listening. You guys are beautiful, man. I love you guys.
Thank you, man.
Yeah!
Right on. Woo! All right. So, in 2 days, there will be a final vote on the ordinances, the ordinance changes, the ordinance that makes it this your space for all you do. For all you do on the sidewalk, you will get 3 squares. If you choose to disobey this, if you choose to move along, if these gentlemen, these police officers choose to cite you, that kind of ticket costs hundreds of dollars. Hundreds, hundreds of dollars.
Thank you.
That's wrong.
That's right.
So we have a city. We have a city council. We have a city council that is going to be voting for this. Oh, we have a city council that's going to vote for this at 3 o'clock on Tuesday. And that is going to be a scene where I encourage you all to come and say what you're saying today. Bring your music, bring your art, bring your balls of all kinds, if you juggle or not. Bring your ovaries, bring yourselves on Tuesday, September 24th at 3 o'clock.
That's right.
However, you should know that the city council is likely to ignore us, and it's going to require more pressure. I've been asked, what are they voting for? They're voting for 2 major changes in the law. One of them is to allow these gracious hosts to harass people more fully with a smile on their face, as they always have, by essentially, and this is the answer, I said this earlier, but I'll say it again, they're going to make it illegal to have a blanket on the sidewalk. They're going to make it. They're going to require three squares. Becky, do you want to talk some more?
I want to talk about the smoking ban for a little bit.
Yeah.
And there'll be an increase in the smoking ban forbidden zones.
Okay, first let me say that I don't smoke tobacco. I've never smoked tobacco, and I think it's stinky.
Yeah, but we like to smoke marijuana.
I don't have the same feeling about marijuana, but that said, the smoking ordinance, which was promoted by then council member Ryan Coonerty and current council member Don Lane, which banned smoking on Pacific Avenue right away, one of the unintended consequences was that people followed the law and went to the side streets to smoke, which you'd think that they would have thought would happen when they wrote it, but they didn't think because, and they didn't, by the way, they didn't consult a single tobacco smoker when they had their hearing. They only listened to people who were for the ordinance and banning smoking. They didn't even consult with anyone on the other side when they passed that. Well, one of the businesses that people were smoking gathered in front of was Nick Space on Cooper Street, which is owned by Ryan Coonerty, the guy that authored the original smoking ban. Now, he's not on the council anymore. He's running for Board of Supervisors now because he's a political animal and an ambitious fuck. But this ordinance, this extension, is to move the smokers away from Ryan Coonerty's business where they were because of his ordinance. And another thing about smoking. I may not smoke, but statistics show that 75% of homeless people smoke tobacco.
More than that.
Just as soldiers in foxholes smoke a lot of tobacco, too. It's a natural repercussion of a population that's under extreme stress.
Extreme stress!
And that's why this smoking ordinance is promoted. It's an anti-homeless ordinance because only 18% of the adults who live in Santa Cruz smoke tobacco, but 75% of the homeless people smoke tobacco. So the smoking law, by the way, cars going down Pacific Avenue pollute more than any tobacco smoker would pollute in a month. So the ordinance, again, a phony public health and safety hazard. Absolutely phony.
The homeless don't really drive cars very much. It's the rich.
Okay, so even though I don't like tobacco smoke, I don't smoke it, I think it's stinky, I'm against the smoking law because the law is wrong.
Yeah.
You're here.
And one of the issues for homeless people, as was mentioned, I believe, either in this last speech or by activists at City Council 2 days later, is that homeless people, as a rule, smoke. The 75% of the homeless population smokes, according to a report in the Washington, the LA Times, reporting from the New England Journal of Medicine. And when I brought that, when that point was brought up by others at the Santa Cruz City Council, Pamela Comstock, probably the most extreme right-wing member of the Santa Cruz City Council, denied it and denounced it, and she was challenged from the audience. Eventually, the police cleared the chambers. They were so concerned about, shutting up the audience, even though it was simply a matter of brief responses, brief outcries from the audience when lies were being promulgated or repressive policies were being covered up with pretty words from the city council. I told her I would forward her the article, and I did, and she replied that, she can't really argue with the stats there, but she feels that smokers who are impolite have to be addressed with these draconian sweeping laws. And She certainly has a right to her opinion. It's too bad she's on the council. She's the co-founder of Take Back Santa Cruz, along with Annalisa Cube, who has gotten the puff piece extraordinaire in this week's Santa Cruz Weekly, which I'll probably be talking about on Sunday. I'm going to pause briefly now to play a different story, because I'll probably be playing more of this protest and of the Saturday protest, which is coming up in 2 days. I'll be recording some stuff that goes on there, the Festival of Fun, 6:30 on Saturday, the 28th of September, downtown, again in front of Forever 21 at Soquel and Pacific. Here's a little something from NPR on the Fresno situation, where Fresno officials dismantle homeless and
support for NPR comes from Lumber Liquidators, offering a variety of sustainably harvested flooring, including pre-finished and stained, at 1-800-HARDENWOOD.
My apologies for the commercial interruption.
Any day now, the city of Fresno plans to raise a large homeless encampment close to downtown. The poor, farm-dependent city in California's Central Valley has one of the highest per capita homeless populations in the country. In recent weeks, city officials there have dismantled three other sprawling shanty towns. NPR's Kirk Sigler reports getting rid of the camps has displaced hundreds of people and sparked controversy.
Fresno is one of the poorest places in America. One in four people here live below the poverty line, and the recession only made things worse. Underneath Highway 180, in the shadow of a large old grain silo, there's a tent city, dozens of makeshift dwellings with walls made of old tires, roofs of blue tarps. Worn mattresses lie precariously close to the train tracks in a dirty canal. The air is rank with garbage and urine.
Come on, pretty girl. Come on.
For the past 3 years, this has been home to Cinnamon and her two dogs.
I don't have a last name.
You don't have a last name?
No. I don't have an ID either.
She also hasn't had any income since her boyfriend lost his job when Fresno's construction boom went bust. After months of couch hopping, then moving from one abandoned place to the next, they settled here.
It doesn't work. You can't do anything. Your stuff's getting stolen all the time. At least like this, that we had somewhat of a home base.
But now, this home base, the encampment that covers a couple acres, is slated for demolition. An eviction notice has just been posted on a telephone pole across the way.
I don't know. I don't know what we're going to do. We have over 58 people here, and they expect us all to move all of the things we've had here for like 2 years or 3 years or more in 2 weeks, less than 2 weeks.
It's not something as a city manager you want to do, you like to do, but it's something that had to be done.
City manager Bruce Rudd says two of the encampments that were just taken down had populations that had swollen into the hundreds. They were lawless and breeding grounds for local gangs.
Sometime in the month of June is when we start seeing fires occurring. We had stabbing, and then we had two gunmen walk into the encampment at night, murdered an individual.
In the weeks since, city workers armed with backhoes and big brooms have dismantled three sprawling homeless encampments. For now, the plan is to use $1 million federal HUD grant to start providing rental housing assistance for those who have been displaced. So far, the city has found housing for about 60 people. But hundreds more are roaming the streets of a tough neighborhood south of downtown. People are just hanging out. Some tents have started to pop up again just around the corner from where one encampment stood. It's near a freeway on-ramp.
We were the last ones they raised.
Here along F Street, Walter Jacobs has pushed his shopping cart full of things to the gutter. It's parked next to a line of about 30 other carts, a line that grows by the day. He says the cops roust him at 6 a.m. every morning and tell him to leave.
Yesterday was rough. It was very, very hot. And if I went one block this way, they popped up and told me to go back that way. You can't sit here, you can't sit there, you can't go here.
The appearance to me is that the city would like the homeless to disappear.
That's Georgia Williams with the group Fresno Homeless Advocates. She says it's not realistic for the city to try and place troubled folks like Walter Jacobs into an apartment and expect them to just live a normal life right away. She wants to see the city set up safe and legal campgrounds. Campgrounds with trash removal, clean water, and porta-potties.
We want to offer the city ways to think about homelessness, ways to deal with homelessness that are something other than what they have been doing for the last 10 years or so in Fresno.
The only thing most everyone can agree on is that the encampments have to go. Even many people who lived in them said they didn't feel safe there. Yet city leaders like Bruce Rudd are cold to the idea of setting up a more permanent campground.
Nor does anyone want to answer the questions, what do we do with individuals who don't want to comply with whatever rules that are established? Now what?
City manager Bruce Rudd throws up his hands in defeat.
This is a city that has no cash reserves. This is a city that's trying to stay out of bankruptcy.
It's also a city where there's no sign that the homeless population will go down anytime soon. Kirk Sigler, NPR News.
And there's a lot of falsehoods in that particular and misleading statements, even in the last half minute. Not realistic to set them up with apartments. Giving the impression, that was the phrase that was used to describe what a homeless advocate in Fresno supposedly said, what actually they're saying is that it's not realistic to expect the city to do anything in terms of payouts to set up those apartments, because they won't, even though they've gotten millions of dollars from the feds, and they're in order to do that over the years, they have not spent that money year after year because they don't want to, quote, encourage the homeless, or because they prefer not to do it. Also, everyone agrees the encampments have to go. No, the homeless advocates do not. They're saying, don't destroy these encampments unless you have alternatives. It is simply cruel and abusive and a form of life-endangering activity to do that. The pretext of crime and gangs, it's always a nice thing to throw at these encampments. But we've heard Mike Rhodes, Fresno activist, on Free Radio, and he has at no time suggested that he's acknowledged that there are problems in the camps, that they're not necessarily the safest places, but that he doesn't recommend destroying them. And in fact, he documents the abuses that the city is doing by destroying them. And you can find more about this on indybay.org/Central Valley, and look for Mike Rhodes, R-H-O-D-E-S, and his stories. Really well put. Another story I want to bring to your attention, and I apologize for using mainstream media, which has to be corrected all the time, unfortunately, is a story coming out of San Francisco, which is also very depressing. It's about the destruction of street chess. I'm not a smoker, but I'm a chess player. I'm going to let this story roll, and then I'll comment on it.
On San Francisco's Market Street.
Yeah, right. So police have confiscated the boards, the tables, the chairs where dozens of people would gather to play every day. KPIX5's Mike Sugarman in San Francisco with why officers are cracking down after decades of chess. Mike?
Well, and I got a chess game set up on Market Street. Am I legal? Illegal? I don't know. Things aren't clear. But I'll tell you one thing that is clear. When chess is outlawed, only outlaws will play chess. The chess game on Market Street folded like a cheap card table, just like the ones they were played on for more than a generation.
About 80, 81.
San Francisco Street Chess, a game Marvin Boykins helped hold together for locals and players around the world.
It's a tradition. You know, I met hundreds and hundreds of people, many. Quite a number of them even from other countries, looking for the games of chess on Market Street.
Police, though, say a criminal element infiltrated these games. Instead of hearing night meat, there was more and more light meat.
We started to see drug use, drug sales, and we were getting support from the businesses that this was going on by the complaints they were making.
Businesses hated the game, said they brought in a bad element. Now the chess players, but hangers-on who knew they had a large market of potential buyers just hanging around, though no business person wanted to talk on camera.
It gave an area where they could sit down and maybe rent a chess table for a while, and at that point they could engage in criminal activity because they would pay the chess players to sit at the table, and then they would sell drugs right at the chess table.
I think you have an element of that, but I don't think it should be the death penalty for the chess, you know, for the chess board.
Community activist and filmmaker Kevin Epps started playing here as a kid. He was here last week as cops swooped in and confiscated chess tables and chess sets. So they didn't do anything about the wagering on the game, which had gone on for years.
My highest was $100 out here.
Did you win?
Yeah, I won two games.
Marvin doesn't feel like much of a winner today. More of a pawn. Well, I'll tell you what. The talks continue. It's not completely over yet. Players and police have talked. Tomorrow, business owners and police talk. It's their move. In San Francisco, Mike Sugarman, KPIX 5.
As you can see, the pretexts are very similar. Drug use, we don't want those kind of people around here, bad element, undefined criminal activity, undocumented specific crimes. Just essentially, it's a response to a merchant preference. The story talks a little bit more about it. Street chess, that institution of young, old, rich, and poor mentally duking it out over a checkered board in the open air, thrives downtown in nearly every big city of America except now San Francisco. And we have to say Santa Cruz in terms of the spaces allowed. You're not going to be allowed to be except in a very limited number of spaces. And that'll be no doubt widely contested by those who are still remaining in Santa Cruz and want to be out on the streets. For more than 30 years, chess games have been a staple near 5th and Market Streets. But earlier this month, the San Francisco Police Department confiscated the playing equipment, chairs, and tables from where dozens of people, mostly homeless, would gather every day to play. Police said that regular chess players weren't the problem, but the area had become a hotbed for illegal gambling and drug use, although apparently, according to the speaker, that wasn't an issue in the video that we just heard. It's turned into a big public nuisance, said Captain Michael Redmond, contending that complaints from nearby businesses and arrests for sale and possession of narcotics have increased over the past 6 months. Notice no stats. I think maybe it's a disguise for some other things that are going on. On Tuesday afternoon, the only sign of street chess was at the feet of Marvin Boykins, 57. That's the guy we heard on the tape. Across from his latex chessboard, a friend moved chess pieces at the command of a smartphone computer game set at the grandmaster level, which Boykins refused to listen to after it warned him that he made a bad move. I've been playing chess since I was 7 or 8 years old, said Boykins, who has been playing at the spot for decades. Chess is a true San Francisco tradition, and occasionally a Santa Cruz one. His friend, Hector Torres Jr., said chess saved him from a gambling addiction when he moved to San Francisco from Las Vegas more than 20 years ago. He said the chess games are a discrimination-free zone. It has welcomed everyone, including San Francisco Giants players, millionaires, and people who have been to prison for decades. They're being mean for no reason, Torres Jr., 42, said about the police. To me, it's a scapegoat. Decades of history. Pinpointing exactly how the games began on Mid-Market is difficult, but what is clear is they have been a fixture since at least the early 1980s. I remember chess in New York on the streets in the late 60s when I was there. The people supplying the tables and the rules for play changed periodically, but the basic premise was always the same. A steady score of chess devotees, many of them homeless, sat at tables all day, and pretty much anyone who wanted to play could take a seat. Sometimes the winner won a dollar, other times it was just a straight fee to play. At one time in the early 2000s, the people who ran the tables charged 50 cents for three games. Boykins charges $2 for people to rent one of his boards. The tables were sometimes supplied by avid players with homes and sometimes by homeless people. One penniless man in the mid-2000s dragged them there every morning from his storage place south of Market Street. San Francisco resident Vivian Imperial, walking down Market Street on Tuesday, said she saw police officers telling chess players a few weeks ago to get rid of their equipment. Businesses relieved. I was walking out here and I was thinking how charming, although I think there's money involved, it's probably not all squeaky clean, she said. It seemed innocent. But employees at several nearby businesses said they were relieved the tables are gone. It's an excuse for illegal activity, period, said Dimitri Madrid, manager at Beauty Supply and Hair Salon, which has sent four letters to Mayor Ed Lee complaining about drug and alcohol use, violence, and barbecuing that has taken place by the tables. Now that the tables and crowds are gone, Madrid said, he no longer sees people walking by with their purses clutched tightly in their arms, or just crossing to the other side of the street. It's like night and day, he said. Sales have been up. At CX, an electronics entertainment exchange, people have come in and asked where the chess went, said Ryan Kay, a street manager who didn't want to give his last name. Since it's been gone, it's been a lot quieter, he said, adding that he thought that was an improvement. Not the last move. Ryan said police had reached out to businesses asking if chess tables were creating problems. He said drug use was commonplace. and customers were calling to say they weren't coming back to the store. They said that we don't want to come here because it's too dangerous, Ryan said. Again, no stats. Jennifer Friedenbach, executive director of the Coalition on Homelessness, said the police were wrong to take Chess away. Having activities for folks to do is a positive thing, she said. We have elderly people who are very isolated, and this is a great way for them to be out in the community. Redmond said that the player's property will eventually be released to them, and he hopes to work out a plan for Chess in the future, but that may involve persuading a business to pay for a permit so games can be played on the sidewalk. I'm optimistic that something is going to work out, Boykins said. And that's a story from the San Francisco Gate website. A tip of the hat to Uncle R for sending me that story. You're tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz, and I think that's almost the end of the show. I'll be playing more tape on Sunday when I come back. We have another show at 9:30 on Sunday generally. And there'll be a protest, as I've mentioned several times during the broadcast, the day before, 2 days from now, Saturday, 6:30 downtown, the Festival of Fun. So bring your balls, bring your chalk, bring your frisbees, all because we're going to turn them all into the police department as items that, you know, will show that you're no longer engaging in criminal activity. Or there's a possibility you could sell those items to criminals.